This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Went to Mow Kings Meadow, the podcast that follows the fantastic Chelsea FC women's team. I'm your host, Dean, joined this week by Dane. No Jane, she's on holiday. But Dane, good to see you.
Yeah, nice to be back after a long time.
Sorry, sound connection there. Dane, sorry, good to see you.
Yeah, you too. How are you?
I'm very well. Well, we'll be once we've recorded this. Stop making stuff up as we go. Luckily for us too, we've got two people that know what they're talking about. Firstly, returning after a very long time is Ben Gilby. Ben, how are you? Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to be back. I don't know if I'm gonna if I'm claiming to be an expert, but I'll make it up as I go along and we'll see what happens.
I think you're more of an expert than me and Dane. No offense, Dane.
Cheers.
And also joining us tonight, making it the four of us, is Mia Eriksson. Mia, welcome back to the show. It's been a while for you as well, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while. Great to be back, to have an hour ahead of just talking great football.
I thought it'd be nice to get some balance of people that was at Kings Meadow and people that were seeing it on the TV, if they see anything different. We are here to talk about Chelsea's 5-0 win over Reading this past Sunday, the 3rd of April at Kings Meadow. Chelsea lined up in a 3-4-1-2 formation with Sachira Muzovic in goal, Millie Bright and Nick Nguyen and Magda Eriksson in defence, Jess Carter, Erin Cuthbert, Sophie Ingle and Guru Wrighton in midfield, with Jesse Fleming supporting Sam Kerr and Bethany England in attack. Emma Hayes used all of her available substitutions, bringing on Mara Mielder for Nguyen, Neve Charles for Jess Carter, Ingle Anderson for Guru Wrighton in the 78th minute, and then bringing on Alsu Abdelin for Jesse Fleming and Drew Spence for Erin Cuthbert. In the 82nd minute, that left just AKB, Emma Thompson and Amy Claypole was our new subs, as G had COVID and Lauren James, Pernilla Harder and Frank Kirby all out injured. Stats-wise, Chelsea had 76% possession, 23 shots, 8 on target, 4 corners and 4 fouls, to Reading's 24% possession, 2 shots, 1 on target, 1 corner, 11 fouls. Dane, I'll come to you first. Team news, no real surprises, probably only Magda back in. And Neve, the one that misses out for Jess to go at right wing back.
Yeah, that was the only surprise, really. I thought Neve's been outstanding recently. I questioned in a recent episode, I don't know her best position, but I like her in the team. Because for me, she brings lots. You know, she can bring energy, you know, assists and goals potentially. But I'd like her more central. But obviously, she's fighting it out with quite a lot of other players. But yeah, not much surprise. You know, obviously it was a surprise that Lauren wasn't there. I did not obviously read anything or hear anything beforehand. So I wanted her obviously to build on after getting her first goal. So that was a bit of a disappointment. And obviously, yeah, it was a stretched bench again. But yeah, no real big surprises.
Mira, is that why you thought that Magda was possibly playing left back? Because it was Neve that missed out and Jess Carter was there?
Yeah, that was my initial reaction, you know, like, oh, left back. But I was wrong.
It's the first time for everything.
Yeah, no.
Ben, what excited me was seeing Sam Kerr and Bethany England together again up front. They do form a really good partnership, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think if you think back to when Sam first came in, which was, you know, which had a difficult opening to when she joined the club. I think, you know, she was just starting to form that good, solid relationship with Beth up front before Beth then had her injury and then she was out for a long time. And I think it's been good to see them coming back together again. You know, I know Beth spoke after the game yesterday about how tough she's been finding things from, you know, from a mental perspective and the fact that she hasn't been in the team for a long time as well. So it was really good seeing her playing with a smile on her face again last night. It's, you know, it's been a while since sort of the old Beth England was there in that sense of things. I think that was really a massive positive for me last night. But one of the other things I really enjoyed was the battle with Deanne Rose and Jess Carter, which, I mean, Deanne Rose was fantastic. And it was a real, real good old-fashioned battle, physical battle between the two of them, particularly in the first half, I thought, last night.
Yeah, that was a point I've written down, actually. Perhaps, Dane, while Neve was left out of the team, sorry, because Rose is obviously Reading's, you know, outlet and her pace. Chelsea seemed very scared of it, and Jess Carter was there to deal with that, and she did a good job, didn't she?
Did a good job, yeah. She's a threat, Rose. Yeah, obviously, we've seen her against Chelsea before. We've seen her playing for Canadian national team. You know, a pacey player who can score goals. To Jesse Fleming's international teammate, and I thought she actually had a good game. You know, it can't be easy watching you concede a few goals, but you know there was a lot of unselfish running, and you know I remember even in the 85th minute, you know, she was still running for a long ball down the right hand side, put a good ball across, no one was there, and I thought that was, you know, very well, you know, it's a great professionalism that you know you don't let your shoulders drop and maybe your confidence drop and you still carry on running. But to be fair, you know, I thought the whole team was still, you know, still niggling away, still battling, still putting in their tackles. So, you know, credit to them, Reading, even though on the level they went up to obviously Chelsea, but, you know, they tried to stick to a game plan. And to be fair, the whole team, I don't think, you know, lost their heads or dropped their shoulders.
No, they certainly carried out instructions. Mia, just quickly on the team, Ciro Mišević still Chelsea's number one goalkeeper. What have you made of that as a Swede?
Finally. No, I mean, I think that if you speak to Ciro, seeing her in the starting lineup, you aren't that surprised. I mean, I am not. I know probably other fans to Chelsea might think otherwise, but I am not, because I do think that she is working her ass off to be the best goalkeeper in the WSL and in the world, and because she is like that as a person. And I think she deserves this. I really do.
Yeah, she's been playing well. If you head to honestlychelseafcw.substack.com, there's a nice piece on there on Sachira playing in goal. Dane, do you want to come in there?
Yeah, I was just obviously talking about obviously the number one battle and how it looks like it's ending out now. You sort of called it a couple of weeks ago, didn't you? And obviously, as a podcast member, you know, that's the whole point. You have a debate. You know, you was questioning whether you thought she was going to stay in. I thought, oh, maybe a Berger might come in, because I think we had a big game coming up when we was debating it. And there was a couple of, obviously, things on Twitter, you know, saying, oh, we should just be happy we've got two class goalies. But, you know, obviously, we're here to debate and here to talk about it. And, yeah, you said it a couple of weeks ago and you thought she was going to stay in. So I just thought I'd, credit you on that and Because a lot of people saying, well, we was playing weekend teams, so it's just experience for her, but you wasn't having any of it.
I do think that one of the reasons is because I really think she is a good passer. Mm. And playing teams that Chelsea have been playing these recent weeks, where you know you're going to end up having the ball a lot, I do think that she will provide a lot to the build-up and like from the back. And that could be one of the reasons.
Yeah. Ben, what have you made of that? And if you noticed in, you know, the game against Reading, they had Rose and Harris, I think it was, who weren't letting Magda and Millie step out with the ball. So they were having to play through midfield a lot more and go back to the goalkeeper. Do you think, as Mia said, that's the reason why that she's in over AKB?
Yeah, I think so. And also, I think she's more than earned her spot in the team. You know, I mean, yes, there were, you know, there were the games against the lesser teams when, you know, anyone could have sort of got the deck chair out and a sun lounger and a, you know, a glass of beer and sat and enjoyed the game. But when she's been called on, even in those games, which is really hard if when you haven't got much to do, to still pull off, you know, top level saves, that's a tough thing to do. And I think, you know, she came in, I think when she signed, I kind of took it as she was coming to replace Berger, longer or shorter term. And I think the fact that she's done what she's done, she deserves to be there. And I think she deserves to stay there for the time being. But yeah, it's, I think the way goalkeepers are now and the way there's a lot more in terms of playing out from the back, I think coaches are more prone to swap between goalkeepers now for certain games, no, rather than sticking to a certain first choice goalkeeper all the time. You know, you kind of look at what the opposition bring to bear and how they attack and how they sort of stack the area or how they kind of look to press the defence and the goalkeeper. So I think that there's partly that element to it as well. I think maybe we don't need to get so fixated about who is number one. I think it's all now, it's all about choosing the best players all over the pitch for the opposition that you're playing.
Yeah, a good point. I think actually AKB will play against Arsenal in the FA Cup. Ben, was you at the game last night?
I was, yeah.
What, I want to read a quote to you from Emma. Even at 0-0, it felt relaxed. Did you feel that relaxation?
I think Reading in the first half were probably the best structured team that we've seen that outside of the top three at King's Meadow in that first half. Because although, you know, Rose was very threatening, you know, and she was really pushing hard along on that wing, there was never really that cutting edge and finishing danger that Reading had up front. So they were fantastic in defence, brilliantly organised, really sort of mega high press, forcing errors, particularly through the midfield from us. But once Rose was making those breaks along the right-hand side that they were attacking in the first half, there was never really that person in the box that could, you know, the fox in the box that could finish the chances that she was creating. So, yeah, I think that's right what Emma says in terms of there wasn't necessarily the attacking threat in terms of on the goal chances from Reading. But, you know, they deserve a lot of credit for the way what they did in the first half. They're, you know, incredibly well organised. They bodies on the line, forced mistakes at times, and they were fantastic at what they did. But you did feel that once that first goal came, then the game would change. And I think the fact that there was the goal right before half-time and then there's the second one literally within 5 or 6 minutes after the restart. Once that happens with a team that are limited in their attacking options, I think it's always only going to go one way.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'd say I felt relaxed. I was confident Reading weren't going to score, but it felt like it was going to be a day where we didn't score either, which wouldn't be good. Mia, you said during the game that the players were a bit off, especially Guru Wrighton's crossing. That was really what was letting Chelsea down, wasn't it? That final third click that they didn't have those issues against Leicester. They scored obviously 3 goals in 7 minutes. Just, I think Jessie Fleming was a bright spark, but apart from her, that front wasn't really connecting. Why do you think that was?
Yeah, I do think that they wanted each other to do well too much. Like they took another touch instead of shooting. They made another pass instead of just going for it because they looked like they wanted to to set each other up more than to score themselves. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but and in a way that's good and nice to see, but you really want that. What happened when Jesse Fleming just took the ball down and went for it? Now I must say that for me, I thought Bethany England was like, she was like a firecracker the first half. And then the second half, well, I don't even have words for it, because I thought that she was, for me, she was the best player on the pitch last night, because her movement, her link-up play and the one-touch passes with Jesse Fleming, it was like, yeah, so good to see. So it was just a little bit of frustrating to watch those sloppy crosses and they took shots and it was blocked, and they took shots again from the rebounds and it was blocked, and like it was a bit, I it's probably like Emma Hayes said, no panic, it felt calm, but just watching that, they just went for it and was like brick walls inside Reading's box.
Yeah, Reading very well looked nice. We'll touch on them a little bit later. Dane, Chelsea did get the goal in the 40th minute. Erin Cuthbert with the ball out to Brighton. Her cross was headed back across by Bethany England. And as Mia said, Jesse Fleming took the ball down and put it home with great aplomb. A deserved goal, I think, for Chelsea. 1-0 sort of worth their efforts in the first half.
Well, yeah, obviously, you know, if you're knocking on the door, you hopefully someone will open it. And in this instance, you know, Chelsea was, although obviously Ben did say that, you know, the structure and the tactics of Reading, you know, was very good and it held up. But, you know, if you've only got one team attacking, then obviously if you get that goal, then you deserve it. I thought the technique of Jesse Fleming was amazing. You know, sometimes you can just sit back and think that looked easy, but to take it down on her chest and then put it in with so much ease just shows the outstanding player she is. Obviously, we're going to, the second goal, obviously, when we eventually get to that technique, but that was absolutely amazing as well. And to think that, you know, that I'm glad that Emma Hayes said there wasn't no panic there, because there was definitely no panic in that finish. It was delightful. Even had me, like, you know, drop my bottom lip because the ease of it. It was, considering I was a little bit like you, Dean, I was starting to get a little bit worried, you know, as you've already said, you know, Brighton was finding herself in a lot of good positions and a radar was off, and there was a couple of overhit passes and off target shots. So you're starting to think, oh, it's not going to be one of those games, is it? But, you know, with this team, you just believe. And thankfully, you know, unlike the men's, you know, they can put teams away. And yeah, they did in the end.
Talking of the men's, I sat next to a family all wearing Brentford jackets, which was fun. It's a shame Jane's not here, though, because she goes for a wee and she misses a goal. So I was egging her to go for about 5 minutes, saying go now. And she said, I'll just wait a minute. And then she went and Chelsea scored. She came back to a big cheer from the Chelsea and supporters group and bowed. Took a bit too much credit, I thought, for the goal. But there we go. Half-time, obviously, 1-0. They come out in the second half, Mia, with a different attitude, I think. It didn't look to me as anything tactically had changed for Chelsea, but their mentality had. Did it reflect that? Watching on the TV, obviously you get different angles. Did it look like anything had changed, or just the mentality of the team?
No, yeah, I can agree that what you said, that the tactics and stuff, they were just, but they were more like, now I'm taking this shot. Like you saw Erin Cuthbert, she went for it, even though it wasn't always on target. She went for it instead of making that last pass or taking that extra touch. And I think that what was the difference from the first half to the second half. And I do think also you can see when players have the confidence, like probably, I mean, watching a few games back, we haven't seen Bethany England with that sort of confidence like she had yesterday. And I mean, just the penalty kick show that. So I think also confidence, confidence and confident enough to just go for it.
Yeah, talking of confidence, that is the one word I've written down to describe the second goal, Ben. Chelsea pressing high, England actually wins the ball, plays it out wide, and then the cross from Wrighton, she volleys it into the net. And all I wrote down was confidence and underlined it, because that's what we're seeing from Beth.
Yeah, I mean, I was at that end in the second half, so right behind where that went in, and it kind of felt on the terrace. It was almost in slow motion from her hitting the ball. And you were like, yeah, that is going straight in that corner. You could see it happening. This sort of felt like this big delay until it actually went in the net. But yeah, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, it's kind of what we're saying. It's confidence, but I think as well, it kind of fits in with what I think she said after the game about the sort of the struggles that she's been going through off the pitch as well, in terms of, you know, she's one of the top strikers in the country, but she's find it really hard to get into the team. You know, any other team would bite the hand off to have her in the team, and she's found it really hard to, you know, to adapt to that. And then she's had struggles with it. And the confidence is the thing, isn't it? You get in there, you hit a shot like that, it goes in, and she just went whoosh straight off after that. You know, the smile was back on the face. It was the Beth England of, you know, of the best that we saw, you know, at times two seasons ago. And yeah, and it was great. It's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, she said after the game day that she struggled at the start of the season. But she's going to play a massive part in this final few games. Well, Fran Kirby, I don't think, will be back.
Right.
Pernille will see what happens on the international break, if she plays with Denmark or not. But having the old Beth back is obviously great for Emma Hayes and Chelsea, isn't it?
Was that to me? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, as I said, the way she finished that goal, where, you know, again, you know, I was literally applauding in my front room. It's sad if someone would have walked past and looked in me clapping at the telly. But yeah, it was amazing. And, you know, as Ben says, you know, it's she's got a bit of a bum deal. You know, she's got three world-class forwards ahead of her, and she always seems to be the fourth one out of three. But, you know, it just goes to show, you know, like goalkeepers, like forwards need game. And, you know, Bethany England scores goals, you know, water is wet, you know, stick your head in a freezer, your head's going to get cold. You know, it's just stuff like that. She's got a run of games. She's got top form now. And, you know, it's so easy to expect, you know, someone to get a chance or Emma to rest Pernille, Sam or Fran when they're on their high, and expect Beth to come in and just, you know, hit the ground running. But, you know, they need momentum, and, you know, all strikers do that. And, no, we've talked a lot about our future and where she might be, and selfishly we'd love her to stay, you know, because we adore her. But yeah, good for her. And it was even funny, obviously, getting ahead of ourselves, you know, with Sam giving her the penalty, thinking she was on a hat trick, because otherwise I don't think she would have given her the penalty. I was actually expecting Marin might have had a chance, but obviously that's the fifth goal I'm talking about. Getting a bit excited.
Yeah. And anyone that knows anything about Sam taking penalties for Australia knows that there's no way that you'd want Sam Kerr to take a penalty. No way.
Yeah, I don't know. They sort of had a debate, and Bethany said in an interview afterwards, obviously, I don't know if you lot was there, but she said Sam thought I was on a hat trick. And she said when Bethany scored the penalty, she said, oh, you know, good hat trick, good Hattie. And she went, no, that was only my second goal. So she obviously wondered why, if that is why she gave it to her then, or it would have been someone else.
Cheech.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Cheech, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry.
Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Real fans, real opinions. For Chelsea fans everywhere, this is the ultimate football app for you. For match highlights, interviews and the best Chelsea videos and podcasts. Download the free CFC Blues app now from the App Store and Google Play.
FootballFancast.com.
Yeah, but before they scored the fifth goal, they scored the third goal. Mia, similar to the second goal, forward press, ready to make a mistake. Brighton plays it to Sam, who seems to miss but scores. But that kind of goal is an Emma Hayes goal, one she would have really enjoyed. Press high and make the opposition make mistakes and capitalise on it.
Yeah, I think probably three of the goals scored yesterday was Chelsea. I mean, that's how you play when you play Chelsea ball. So I actually kind of thought about the play a lot yesterday because I was so fascinated about the comment Jonas Eidevall had made when Arsenal lost versus Wolfsburg in the Champions League. So it got me thinking that this is the kind of style that the Women's Super League is all about in the top teams. I mean, it's straightforward, it's direct, you win the ball, you score. That's pretty much it. And I thought it's a great football to watch. It's no doubt about it. But I'm still trying to figure out how, I mean, if we're looking at Chelsea, I want them to succeed in Europe like that as well. So it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah. What is tap, tap, boom in different languages? I think we need to learn that.
In Swedish.
Yeah,
that's just tap, tap, boom. I just say it like that.
Well, luckily you all speak English. Otherwise, yeah. This show would be a lot harder.
You learn. It's you that's my teacher, you know, so.
Yeah, free of charge as well. Ben, the fourth goal, I've not written too much about it, but what I love about it was Aaron Cuthbert's movement to go outside of Guru Wrighton. And I think that's a side effect of her being centrally in the team, which she's got that forward knowledge to make those kind of runs. How impressed have you been with her? Yesterday, I thought she was my player of the match, really, outside of Beth as well. I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, Erin is just, yeah, I mean, I love her to bits. She's my favourite British footballer by a long chalk. You know, everything, you know, for me, she's that player that will always come off the most pristine pitch caked in mud, because that's just Erin Cuthbert. But, you know, she wins everything that you don't think anyone has got a chance of winning. And you back her in every kind of situation. And I think, you know, what Mia was saying about the difference in her in that second half, where it was kind of like a bit like a sod it, I'm just going to smack it. I don't care. I'm going to smack it. And, you know, that kind of whole mentality came out a lot more in the second half, and again it's that word confidence, isn't it? Because then everything sort of seemed to bubble from that. It was a bit more, whether they were told, look, you know, you're being a bit too careful, just go for it in the dressing room, or if it was like a collective decision. But yeah, I think slightly more centrally position is where you want Erin to be, because she's just got that, you know, she's just got that creativity, and she can drop out and switch wide if she needs to. But being in that more central position gives her a lot more opportunities, I think, and it's a much better team for it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mia, Erin's sort of got both sides of the game. She can tackle. She's got the engine, but she's also got the technical skills to pass and shoot and score. Should she
and, and she's great at holding up the ball and cover it from the opponents. And I think the game last night, it really showed that.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure that there are a lot of sequences, if one would go back and watch that game, where you could see that she is a proper central midfielder in that game. I mean, she's a bit more intense, but she kind of reminded me in some ways of Caroline Seger in Sweden, because she is also very good at covering the ball and just keep it.
Yeah, you kind of answered my question before I've asked it. To frame it a little bit differently, in the first half especially, Chelsea obviously overload the left when they attack because they kept Jess Carter back for Rose. I thought they struggled to create the triangles in midfield with Sophie Ingle not probably being as dynamic as Erin. How do they get a partner for Erin to be able to create those sort of triangles if they are going to start passing through midfield more and not have Eriksen and Bright kick the ball long?
That's a me.
If Mia can answer that, because she answered the first question without me asking it.
So I'm just going. Yeah, I think that's a hard question right now, because they won the game. They scored 5 goals. I do think that we've been talking a lot about the fact that we think that Magda's absence hasn't been quite like huge as many people would have thought. But then you had the Continental Cup final where they lost, like, and I think we're going to see it probably versus Arsenal now in the FA Cup final if Magda is that important that we haven't thought she is. Maybe she is, like, because she is a good passer, but I do think she is still a bit rusty. You can see that. And I think it's hard. You know, they like changed the back line yesterday, and that can affect Sophie Ingle as well. We don't know that. So it's like, it's hard to tell.
And did you get that feeling as well in the first half? Obviously, the second half, Chelsea blew Reading away, but obviously they're always trying to go through the left-hand side. It just felt like they were struggling to get the ball to round the Reading press and into Fleming at times. And I thought maybe if you swap Sophie and Erin round in their positioning on the pitch, that would have helped. Did you get that? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think Mia is certainly right where she says about Magda. I think last year when she was out for a while, there was no doubt that we missed her massively. And I think it hasn't quite been to that extent this year, as yet. Anyway, we'll see, as you say, what happens with the likes of the Arsenal semi-final and then the Tottenham back-to-back in quick succession, which is hard to play to any team back-to-back in 4 days. As well. I'm not sure. I mean, Sophie didn't quite offer what I would have hoped last night. I mean, I know that might sound a bit harsh because I don't think anybody really had a particularly disappointing game last night. But I think you've kind of got to balance it between what Erin offers in that role compared to the other thing that you would get with Sophie. And for me at the moment, I would keep Erin in there, but I think there's a longer term discussion there about what happens in terms of how you get the best out of the people in that position, whether that gets sorted in the summer. But then again, there's all sorts of other things about what may happen in the summer because with the outside things going on in the club as well. But long term, that's where I'd like Erin to play. But I think, you know, as we're trying to solve this conundrum at the moment, I don't think there is an immediate answer to the question. I know that's a bit of a cop-out, but I don't think there is at the moment.
No, I agree. But Dave, I think even though we've just sort of maybe not criticised Sophie but critiqued her, that's still the best partnership that Chelsea have got available right now, is Cuthbert and Ingle.
Right now, yeah. Oh, yeah, without doubt. Yeah, again, you know, it's a thankless task, Sophie, as you know. It's all about screening, isn't it, and putting out fires. And again, we're talking about technical ability in Cuthbert, though, after talking about Fleming and Beth's goals. The technical ability that Cuthbert has is amazing. Sometimes you just sit back and watch what she can actually do on the field. With the ball, without the ball, her positioning, her energy, you know, you could write so many positives, and I don't think you could come up with one negative. Again, I've mentioned before her age, 23. Wow. We are so lucky. We are so lucky to have her. Yeah, I like her centrally in that position. Oh, as a kid, you know, I love her. You know, she can do anything with the ball. She can drop her shoulder, you know, put her foot on the ball, spray it around, burst, slow it down, speed it up, score a goal. You know, she's amazing. And yeah, it's eventually it will be her and one other. You know, we spoke about early in the season, and we thought, you know, similar to Beth last season, she was the 12th, you know, the 13th man, 12th woman, sorry, 13th woman would miss out, and she really had to perform at high levels to stay in the team. And now, you know, it's a given. You know, she's one of the first ones on the very cliche on the team sheet, but it's so deserved, and it won't be a case of she's going to have to keep on performing outstandingly to stay in the team. You know, I think it's cemented in there at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. I kept thinking last night that who would love to play in this team is Jorginho, which was quite random, but he would be able to pick up the ball in the spaces that I wanted to pick up the ball and link the play. Obviously, less pressing as well in the women's game for him, I suppose.
You had to get a Jorginho positive in there somewhere.
Well, he did play and Chelsea lost 4-1. That's all I'm going to say. Mia, we spoke about Sachira being the number, or playing more games, being the number one. Last night was the seventh consecutive game that Chelsea have kept a clean sheet at home, which is a WSL record. They've only conceded one goal at home, which was versus Brighton, I believe. And seven all season, most of which came in the opening couple of weeks. Given that everything that everybody was talking about, the back three and how it never worked, I know they switched to a four at times, but defensively, I don't think we've got the credit we probably deserve.
No, probably not. I mean, I must say, I find it so hard to evaluate the Women's Super League at the moment. I really do. I struggle doing that right now. So it's kind of hard, but still, I mean, if you don't have to defend as much, that means you are doing a good defending, but just further up the pitch. I mean, I do think we kind of tend to think too much about, when we speak about defending, that it has to be about the defenders and the back line, but it's a team effort. And I do think when Chelsea's back line doesn't have to defend as much, that means that the defenders up front have done their job. And I do think that that's what it is all about. Yeah. It's going to be interesting as well to see if this back three will keep on living in a game versus Arsenal, like, because of the fact that Arsenal has changed quite a bit since they went up against each other in the league with how they play. So, I mean, I think if you don't concede in the Women's Super League, who is one of the best leagues in the world, yeah, of course you're doing a great job defensively.
Yeah. Following on from what Mia said there, Ben, about defending higher up the pitch, I think Chelsea certainly worked hard to stop Reading sort of transitioning the ball quickly and getting in behind, which is, I think, what they was afraid of. But on the occasions they did, in the first half especially, Jess Carter was equal to Deanne Rose. And I always like to give Jess Carter credit when she deserves it, and she does after that performance as well. I questioned why Neve wasn't playing on the right, because she does offer more going forward, but actually we needed Jessie's defensive skills there, and she had a great game as well.
Yeah, I mean, as I said earlier on, you know, that battle with Jess and Deanne Rose in the first half was brilliant to watch. Absolutely loved it. Yeah, I think the skill, like we were also saying, I think you pick a team based on the players that are put in front of you by the opposition, you know. And I could completely agree with what you were saying. Neve has had a great season. She's really, really stepped up this year, a big deal. But I think there's times when you need that strong defensive presence that Jess had, slightly more physically against the likes of Deanne Rose. And also, I think, you know, against Reading, who haven't necessarily got the firepower and the strength in defence that some of the other teams would have, they've conceded a few goals recently, you know that you don't necessarily have the pressure to put that attacking defender that Neve would have in the team to get the forward momentum, because you've got the creativity in the midfield, you've got the power on pace up front. So I think it was the right call, and I think Jess was great, absolutely brilliant last night. She bossed Deanne Rose when Rose was causing potentially massive problems in that first half, I think. And yes, you saw Rose a bit in the second half, but I think once half time came, I think, you know, Jess had her beaten.
Yeah, and she moved as well. When Reading made some subs, she moved positions to get out of the way. And I sit very close to Jess's dad, so certainly would never say anything bad about Jess at a match. Dane, you had some words about Reading and their ability to foul and not get yellow carded. But is that a sign of a well-coached team that they know when to make fouls?
Well, obviously, when I was praising them earlier for not dropping their shoulders, I also didn't mention the fact that they were still doing their niggly little fouls even in the 90th minute. So it shows that obviously Liz, obviously you don't know, you can presume it's coming from a tough manager, you know, who's orchestrated them to sing a certain way and play a certain way, and good on them, because the best thing about some of these really good teams are is even if you know the things are going against you and you've conceded goals, you know, to still keep your head high and play, you know, to the best of your ability, and that's how you stay in the team. And you know, the Reading manager would have seen, you know, the team that they, although they conceded goals and some of them was harsh and penalties, etc., you know, but they still stuck to their game plan, and good for them. And yeah, maybe the referee should have been a little bit stronger early on. Obviously, we could hear the Reading manager having a bit of a fallout with the referee on the sidelines. But you know, it's like, you know, like most fans of, especially us, you know, we will complain about a foul's not given for us, but you know, let ones go if our players do it. So yeah, I thought the referee could have been stronger, but it's getting back to the old debate again about having a professional referee associated within the Women's League. You know, these. You go through not just our team, but a lot of teams, and there's some outstanding players in this league, world class players, and then you even look at the Tottenham, who haven't got necessarily those standout players that obviously Arsenal and Chelsea have, but how amazing they've done this season. And you know, the league's only getting stronger and better, so the officials need to be better. But you know, we see how bad they are in the men's game in England, in Britain. So you know, they're definitely better abroad than they are in our league. But you know, it's just the start would be to make them, you know, professional. You know, make them full time, and then that's a start. Then when we've got no excuses, and then the training and everything else comes.
Yeah, I think if you think last night, the fact that both teams had plenty to complain about in terms of the officiating, I think that kind of is a sign that things aren't right. And I think if we're not going to go the whole hog and say, okay, we're going to have pro refs and pay them in the WSL, if not the Championship as well, then we need to get the support in for VAR, particularly in the big games, at least as an additional support. I think we've got to the stage now where it needs to be one or the other. It's not going to be both, because you know, reality, the money's not there for both, but I think it needs to be one or the other now.
Yeah, we won't go too hard on the referees right now, though, because we'll be here all night talking about all the mistakes they do make. May I read you another quote from Emma Hayes? She said, "I feel the team is coming into its top form at the right time and everybody is contributing." We always say we always agree with Emma, everything she says. And no change with that quote either, because we're seeing lots of different players come into the team and contributing. Drew Spence getting assists. G has played a few good games before she got COVID. Beth and England coming back. The whole squad is being used now, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I do think that it's like right now, I must say that I feel when watching Chelsea play football, it's very balanced. Like it likes everyone in harmony, and that's probably why Emma Hayes also said that we saw no panic, we felt no panic, because they know it was going to come. And it did. So I do think that, like, I mean, it's what is it, 4 games left of the league in the season?
Yeah.
And I do think that it's no reason to not believe that Chelsea will handle this and win the league. I mean, I for one think it's kind of fun and exciting that they actually have Manchester United in the last game at home. So I do feel that, yeah, as a Chelsea fan, one should feel confident. There's no reason not to.
I know, but I would rather have sort of Leicester on the last day than a team.
Why?
Because Man United got something to play for. So they're not just coming to spoil our party. They're coming
This is what I mean with a team like Chelsea. They know how it's like to play those games. Manchester United haven't managed those games yet. So, yeah. I mean, it's no reason to believe that it's not going to go great.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Mia. For me, I'm far more concerned about playing Tottenham twice in 4 days than I'm about playing Man United in the last game of the season, particularly the second game against Tottenham. That concerns me more than playing Man United on the last day.
Yeah, that's going to be a strange situation.
Yeah.
Play so close together. I'd almost rather they just gave out 6 points for the win, 2 points for a draw, just play one game. The player of the match wise, it was a tied on our Discord. So between the 3 of you, your votes need to make a winner. So the choices were Aaron Cuthbert, Sam Kerr, Bethany England, and Jesse Fleming. Dane, who would your vote be for?
Well, I was trying to really get my point across about Aaron and how, yeah, I thought at the beginning of the season she'd have to perform every game, obviously, as I've already said, to stay in that team. But I think her levels have gone from a very good player to outstanding. And I'd like to see her on the Champions League stage to then say, I think she's world class. But yeah, I don't want to undercut how much I think she's taken her game on to another level. And she's not just another player in a squad rotation. She is amazing. And in this game, I thought she showed her strengths. And I'd say, although, you know, I am, having played football and being a striker, I know how you need a run of games. And I'd love to give it to Bethany, because again, you know, just for that first finish and just seeing the confidence and that smile in her face, which, you know, which we would love to see. And it is a thankless task being a striker. But yeah, I think Aaron has hit levels that I think, if it surprised you and you've slept on her, then just enjoy it, because I think she's going to get even better.
Yeah, so that's one more for Aaron. Mia, where would your vote go between those 4?
Yeah, Bethany England. No doubt. I agree with Erin, obviously. I think that Jesse Fleming is also up there and Sam Kerr as well. But I do think that the performance from Bethany England yesterday was something we haven't seen in a long while. And the goal she scored, that second one, I'm not sure we have seen a Chelsea player, striker, forward, midfielder, like scored a goal like that in a very long time. And she also did pre-assist herself for it. So it's not just a goal.
Yeah, when I wrote a piece on Beth and I watched her goals back from that season, that's the stuff she was doing. And sort of I asked the question, like, let her do what she does. Now she's playing fantastic. But as long as you don't vote for Jesse Fleming, we're going to have a winner.
I'm going Erin. I think, you know, the story with Beth, it was, you know, as I've said countless times already tonight, seeing her back to her best last night and enjoying what she did and doing it at such a high level was fantastic. But I think just the influence and the drive and everything through the middle that Erin offered. I mean, I know, you know, Dan, you mentioned the Champions League and that. I mean, I guess to balance that, I guess you could point to the game in Turin against Juve. And, you know, Erin was amazing, absolutely incredible that night in the game in Turin. Yes, I think maybe, you know, against the slightly next tier up teams is where you need to test her next. But yeah, she's great. And it surprises me that people are still surprised by how great she is, because she's just awesome.
Well, yeah, Ben, I did actually want to say she was world class, but I didn't want to get carried away. So if I just add, well, let's see her more consistently in the Champions League, then I can just calm myself down a little bit. And you got to think as well, you know, obviously Bethany comes in, plays centre forward, scores goals. You know, we love her to bits. But again, Erin, you know, right wing, left wing back. You know, she's now finding a more central position. So again, that's something she has to learn and, you know, had to adapt to this season. And again, all credit for her. We could extend this by half an hour talking about her, how amazing she is and all her plus points. But yeah, I'm getting very carried away with her, but I tried to tone it down a little bit.
Was it Wolfsburg, the second leg last year? Where she came into the team and replaced somebody, and we sort of snuffed out the crosses from the second leg. I don't know, my memory's not great, but she came back into the team.
Mm.
We played much better. Mm. I'd say Erin's world class, so you can as well, Dave. And she is our player of the match. If you disagree, you need to join our Discord and vote for the person that you thought was the player of the match. The link for that will be in the description box. That wraps up a 5-0 win for Chelsea against Reading. The Chelsea Women Supporters Group in fine form once again. Lots of people actually online when I put my Sam Kerr video up saying that the atmosphere is so much better at King's Meadow, which it is. So you should come down and watch a game for yourself. Just quickly, Dane, there was a banner made against the Ricketts family that wasn't allowed in the ground to be hung up. I think the same thing happened and at the women's game.
Oh, and at women's, okay.
Well, so that did happen at the men's, didn't it?
Sort of. Yes.
Funny times for Chelsea right now.
Yeah, that's I'm going to keep on saying that's because I'm trying to work out in my head. Yeah, that's a strange one. It's you wonder if what no one's come out and said anything. I was wondering if some of the support groups can ask questions and the club can answer. Seems to be that they're getting more attention than anyone else and are being allowed to put their point across to take over the club more than anyone else, when I thought the Bowley group seemed to be the ones that were maybe edging ahead. But, you know, it seems like the Ricketts are not going away, and whether they've got previous relationships with Bruce Buck and certain board members. Bruce Buck is not really going out with a bang in a good way with Chelsea supporters. We've always sort of questioned him and some of his decisions. And in recent weeks, with the Middlesbrough fiasco and the Super League months ago, and now allowing obviously the Ricketts family to have a personal meeting with Chelsea legend Paul Cannavale. So it's a worry if decisions have already been made. I think Bowley or someone from Broughton Consortium did come out and say, well, if you've already decided on them, can you just tell us now so we're not wasting all our time? I haven't got any answers. You know, I've been shown with a lot of interest with friend of the Chelsea fan cast, you know, Brian Wolfe, who knows a lot about the family from being a massive Chicago Cubs baseball fan and obviously being from Chicago area. And he's trying his best to put his point across, and he's in contact with the club and supporters groups and everything. And he's an intelligent man as well. But yeah, it's worrying times, because when you was talking earlier, I was thinking about, I wonder what, you know, for potentially for transfers and everything. And I was just wondering, you know, if Emma had talks with players already and lined up certain transfers. And because I even read recently that the men's had agreed a deal for Chicago Fire at MLS team's goalie, and that's fallen through. He's only 17-year-old, but he's got massive potential. So you wonder, you know, how it affects us, how it's going to pause us, and you just want to get it done. But you know, if that board have already decided on the Ricketts, then is there anything we can say or do?
Well, we hope so. I know the Ricketts are in London. They are meeting different people, so we'll see what happens with that.
I think Martin Wickham made a really good point. He said, okay, you know, some of the sins are from the brothers and from the fathers, and you know, we can't pay for them. But if you take away some of their awful comments and their beliefs, if you just look at how they've run Chicago Cubs, that in itself is enough to say, you know, thanks but no thanks.
Yeah, very good point. But we won't forgive or forget the awful things that the family has done. Elsewhere in the WSL, on Friday, Birmingham City drew 0-0 with Everton. Saturday, West Ham lost 2-0 to Manchester City. And then on Sunday, Man United beat Brighton 1-0. Leicester lost 5-0 to Arsenal. And Tottenham lost 1-0 to Aston Villa. That leaves the table looking like this. Chelsea remain top on 44 points. Arsenal in second on 43 points. Man United third on 38 points. Manchester City fourth on 35 points. Spurs fifth on 28 points. United have played the game more than everyone else, and Spurs have played two games less, but they are against Arsenal and Chelsea. Then the rest of the list is Brighton, West Ham, Reading, Villa, Everton, Leicester and Birmingham City. Also, Liverpool were promoted to the WSL this weekend, so we'll be playing Liverpool next season, which is a horrible ground, apparently, because they don't invest in the women's team. Next up for Chelsea in the WSL is Spurs away on Sunday, as we said, and then at home, on the Thursday. We then go away to Birmingham on the 1st of May before finishing, as we said, at home to Manchester United on the 8th of May, hopefully to lift the third WSL title in a row. Ben, I'll quickly ask, anything else you want to add on the game before we say goodbye?
No, I think we've covered it, and it was just a really enjoyable second half. And you saw that confidence and that enjoyment of coursing through the team. And you know, when Chelsea play like that, you know, there's no better team to watch, I don't think.
No, I was moaning about the kickoff time because it felt like we were just waiting around. But actually, winning 5-0 makes it enjoyable.
Yeah.
Mia, I'll ask you as well. Anything we probably missed that you wanted to add?
No. But to make sure you not miss anything, their pitch, episode 12, your new number one goalkeeper, Sechira Musovic, tomorrow, Tuesday, April 5th.
And not just the goalkeeper, also the captain.
Yeah, but that episode we will save, you know, like...
When is it being recorded, though?
Yeah, I can't actually say that because of a lot of reasons.
Okay, well, if it's not in the next 48 hours, you can ask questions to Magda.
Put
in their pitch.
Bring the questions on. Yeah. My social medias are a mess today.
Our Discord actually takes questions as well because Amanda is there promoting their pitch. We should charge rent, really, but we won't because we're nice. Before we go, I just want to wish a very happy birthday to Verity, who will be 10 on the 30th of April. Simon, her dad, is a fan of the show and listens every week. We was able to give her a special Sam Kerr print that Johnny Sinito had made for her 50 WSL goals. And Jane got it signed. She was very happy with that. So that was nice to do. Ben, lovely to see you again. Where can people sort of find you online if they want to?
Yeah, I'm Twitter at BenGilby1 and website around at Impetus Football, and I also write for the women's game in Australia.
Yeah, would highly recommend it if you are a fan of Sam Kerr or Australian football in general. Ben's website does some fantastic work on all aspects of the women's game there. Mia, again, it's been been too long, but doing your own great stuff. So too busy for us, I suppose.
No, never too busy for you. You just have to ask me more often.
I think everyone already follows you, but where can people follow you and their pitch if they don't already?
Yeah, they can follow me at Twitter, Mia_Eriksson, or at their pitch. Come join us.
Easy as that. All the links we'll put in the description. And Dane, always lovely to see your smiling face on a podcast. You make the hour fly by.
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
That's a bit mean to everyone that doesn't get to see Dane every time. I mean, this is no broadcasting podcast.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'll echo happy birthday to Verity as well. I hope you have a nice day. Yeah, I was having technical problems early, so I couldn't actually say a proper hello to Mia or Ben, but I could hear voices. I couldn't see anything, but I didn't want to scare you, Dean, and pull out. So I stayed with it, and you eventually will come up. So yeah, all good. Yeah, it's obviously always lovely having Mia on, and this is my first time I've ever done a show with Ben, and you know, his insight is always appreciated. And yeah, I really enjoyed it today. Needed it after the men's. Luckily, we only had to wait 24 hours after that men's loss to watch our wonderful women's team and put our faith back into the Chelsea Football Club. So yeah, yes, it's always good to go over a good result, and it was nice to share it with Ben and Mia, and obviously you again, Dean.
Yeah, a little life hack actually before we go. If your women's team are your number one team and the men are second, your life is actually a lot more enjoyable. just going to throw that out there. Thanks again to Ben and Mia. All their social media links will be in the description box, as will the links to our Discord channel, as we already mentioned. If you want to see Dane's face, I'm going to put it on our Patreon, so you have to sign up to see Dane's face. The link for that as well in the description box.
Do I get to choose the picture that you put up?
Well, I don't have any on actually myself, so you will have to send me some. So you can get the right angles in. Keep the USA t-shirts on though. No explicit content on our Patreon. The show you can follow at Mo Kingsmeadow. You can follow me at Dean Mears, and Dane is at DWIT9. Mia and Ben have said theirs, so you have to go back in time if you want to listen to them again. Instagram at Went to Mo Kingsmeadow. Yeah, that's it. Until next time, from Kingsmeadow to Wembley, keep the blue flag flying high.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is, that's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van, unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.